Need a new set of optics? For more than a decade, Riton Optics has been providing optic solutions for hunters and shooters of all types and disciplines. Check out their Primal line for those products geared more towards us hunters. From binoculars and spotting scopes to your basic 3-9 scopes and longer range crossover models, the Primal line from Riton was made for hunters. Learn more at RitonOptics.com. That's Riton, R-I-T-O-N, optics.com.
Facts.
Having heard this. Holy cow. Okay, well, let's see what happens this time. Oh, look at my kids been watching my TV, as you can tell, with the all the stuff. Okay, let's try again and again. Oh, come on.
I did get it.
It says we're live. They keep changing stuff on me, dude. Like, it's always
I did get a
different.
YouTube notification on my phone that OKS Hunter has gone live, so.
Yeah, that was when I had it wrong. Now I have it right. There we go. So now you can see his, what the fuck? You look like you belong in Africa with that necklace.
I'm not going to keep it on. I just wanted to wear it for the beginning, you know?
I mean, you should probably keep it on the whole time.
Jazz hands.
This is the OKest Hunter Podcast. Never pass on shooter bucks if that's just me in the freezer. It's your tag. You hunt how you want. This is OKest Hunter.
Welcome back to the OKS Hunter Podcast. If you're a longtime listener, if you're new to the show, welcome to the OKS Hunter Podcast. Brought to you by Nosler, our presenting partner. They're going to be on the podcast, I think, May 7th. So we're probably going to drink tequila on that episode because it's about as close as we get to our Tuesday being by Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo, whatever that is. My father-in-law has some very nice tequila at his house, and he's got these weird glasses you drink it out of. It almost looks like a saucer more than a shot glass. And you just drink it straight, and you sip it like you do a bourbon, and it's got about the same level of like, ooh, this is good. It's not like your shitty cheap tequila. So I'm kind of like, I wonder if I can convince him to give me that bottle for Cinco de Mayo / May 7th when we have Nosler on. Like, let's get
you know
weird.
Who you can't convince to drink tequila? Greg Tubbs.
You?
It's not like tequila.
Greg. But this isn't like your regular tequila. I would encourage him to try it to just... Then we could squash the whole thing. If he says, no, this doesn't taste good, then I would be like, all right, never again. But if he tried this stuff, I think he'd be like, wow, that's like a good bourbon. All it's right. Like the of equal caliber of sipping. It's a like sipping tequila is, I think, what they call it, potentially.
Yes, I've had good tequila, and I've had a lot of bad tequila, and that would be good tequila.
Disproportionately, yeah, of course. Way more bad tequila than good tequila.
Exactly.
So, yeah, excited for that episode so everyone can learn more about Nosler from their own point of view, not mine. And Greg's busier than shit. So, like, I just reposted his turkey choke blog article he posted on OKS Hunter a while back. I resurfaced it on our LinkedIn page. Yes, we have a LinkedIn page for those that are wondering. If you're bored at work and you want to consume some content in a legitimate way, you can go gold brick on LinkedIn and consume OKS Hunter stuff. But nonetheless, it was a good article. But Nosler doesn't have like shotgun stuff. It's more rifle stuff. Spartan Forge, shout out to them. Latitude, and then Rack Hub. I talked to Rack Hub today, TJ. And I was like, TJ, we're talking about turkeys. I don't feel like I have a good plug for you today. So I'm just like, admittedly, you should get some turkey stuff. I don't know. But of course, as you continue to maybe find some sheds out shed hunting, like, Rack Hub's a great thing. You can just hang up the single antler you might have found, or you can hang up the set. There's obviously more you can do with it in addition to that. Derek, being someone that does antler repair, I think you could speak to it a little bit as well. So, great product. Use code OHP across all of our partners. Latitude, Spartan Forge, Rack Hub, Nozzler, and save money, because that's pretty cool that they do that for our listeners. At least I think so, anyways, because they're hefty discounts. So with that.
That was a decent plug, though, because turkey hunting or turkey season, a lot of guys pick up sheds while they're out turkey hunting, and you might just have a spring slam. You know, you get the turkey, find a couple morels, pick up a shed. There's your spring slam right there.
Yeah.
I like it.
You could cook everything with that. We'll stir the pot with the antler. I mean, it's a good combo. So I think today I'm going to try to do a better job with the camera stuff here. We got Matt Stryman in studio. Matt, cheers again. Thanks for trekking out this way from Derek's neck of the woods. Or not really, though. You're further? Maybe?
Further.
Yeah.
Like 20, 25 minutes from.
Sorry about that.
Derek.
Well, Matt, I guess you've been here before. This isn't your first rodeo, your first time on the show. But if you want to introduce yourself as the co-founder of Weathered Oaks Custom.
Yeah. Weathered Oaks Game Calls.
Yeah. I see. I said the wrong name already. I'm just
that's okay. I've only been here, a bunch of times. But yep, co-founder of Weathered Oaks Game Calls. I almost said it wrong. That
that's funny. Do you want to raise your chair at Smidgen?
Oh.
This isn't going to be an issue. Oh, there it goes. That's better. Now you're more in front.
Be careful, Eric.
Thanks, buddy. I know. I was like, shit, I asked too late. He's going to hit the ceiling like Derek did.
It's the highest I've ever been.
I've interrupted you on your own intro.
Oh, it's okay. I think most people know who I am.
Oh yeah, you're maybe a big deal. Everyone knows who you are.
Oh, yeah, I got 9 followers, baby.
Stone Cold Killer. No, I'm just kidding. You're see what I did there?
See ya.
Yeah. Well, so like talk about like what is like we'll spend a little bit of time on just Weathered Oaks. I want to set the stage for people. Like you handcraft these things, for lack of better terminology. Mm-hmm. They're hand spun on a lathe. There's several types of wood that you use, or species of wood. You have several different types of calls, double sided, waterproof. I don't know. Like, tell me and the audience what makes these special, and like why the hell are you even doing this? You have a real job. Like, what are you doing here? You know, like, it's a passion of yours, I imagine.
Yeah. yeah, we started, 2019-ish, when I didn't feel like paying top dollar for a turkey call and thought I could make it myself.
Okay.
And that's kind of, we putzed around, had a lot of failures, a couple of successes. We, you know, from different dimensions and stuff. But yeah, we branched into quite a bit of different woods and kind of nailed down 3 or 4 of our core styles, and we prototype new things every year too. So
that's awesome. How many, like, is there a certain type of wood that sounds better than another in your opinion, or like what do you think about that?
That is a weighted question. Certain types of wood sound good with different calling services and soundboards and strikers.
Okay, so it is a loaded question.
It is.
Do you have a favorite?
I like our double-sided call. It's just the best of both worlds. Call started at all was our weather resistant one that you can play soaking wet and it sounds exactly the same wet or dry, but this one is growing into my new favorite.
And is that the one that's like extra loud?
Yeah.
Can you just give it a quick couple strikes?
Putting me on the spot.
Is that the right terminology?
Strikes?
Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
Make it look so easy.
I do it several times.
Well, when we were at the Open Season Sportsman's Expo show, that's a mouthful. You were in the hotel room late at night finishing up a bunch of calls, but you're like scoring them or something, or mm-hmm. And then you tested every single one of them.
Yep.
And you still do that for every call? You test every one of them?
Yep, every single call. I'm not going to ship out a call that I don't like the sound of. Doesn't pay.
Well, that's subjective.
But it's
some like don't make it though. Some are like, nope.
I got a wall of shame. Probably 80 to 100 calls that just
ouch
didn't turn out. That's fine. I'd rather have it sit on my shelf than somebody get upset with their work. So
what happens when a call goes bad?
It just doesn't sound right. Whether
like what happens in the makeup of the like, is it because something didn't, like you point out a call here that maybe the wood didn't dry long enough or something?
Yeah, it could be a plethora of things. Most of the time, like when our calls quote unquote fail, they fail my ear test. They're too hollow. Soundboard is warped, so it, you know, how the airways travel through and make the I can't
vibrations.
Even, yep. How that happens. It just doesn't sound right. It sounds flat. It sounds too high pitched. Strike. I can't get a striker to go with it. So it's, if it doesn't sound, doesn't pass my ear test, I put it on the shelf. So I want everybody to be happy with what they get from us. So
that's great, man. Derek, do you have
I literally just put mine in my pack and loaded it into the back of my car about an hour ago. I got the double-sided one. Got one from Matt last year. Used it on my turkey hunt. I think I had Matt's double-sided call. He gave me a striker. And I had, I think it was Drew, does the Dirty Hen mouth calls. I had the mouth call and Matt. Mm-hmm.
With Oak Tree Dreams. Oak Tree Dreams.
Drew with Oak Tree Dreams. I had his mouth call and Matt's double-sided. And I just loaded those in my pack for tomorrow morning. So, yeah, I love that one. The double-sided is a no-brainer. My buddy Ben Walchek. Just ordered one from you about 2 weeks ago. He said he absolutely loves it. So I've been recommending that one because, I mean, weatherproof. We've all had a call, a slate call that got wet, and all of a sudden you can't talk on the damn thing, and it's super annoying. That call is just an all-star.
Great to hear.
Are there any others like it on the market that you're aware of? Or, like I said, have you cornered it with that one?
No, there's no. I mean, the thing with the pod calls, there's nothing proprietary about 99.3% of pod calls. Unless somebody comes up with a different design shape or a feature or something, it's they've been using pod calls for hundreds of years.
If I could put my finger in a pod call, maybe that'd be a cool feature. I just drop it all the time. I don't know how to hold it. Yeah, get like some get like a little strap, you know, like a socket thing, like on the phones. I'm joking. I don't
pop socket.
Look, I modified.
I used to use the Primos. I think it was called the Freak, which was a pod call. And they had a strap that came with it with, like, in the bottom of the mold. So it was, like, the sides were plastic, the cylinder part. And then you had, like, the soundboard. And on the bottom of the cylindrical part, they had, like, two little cutouts. And you could run, like, a elastic strap through it is what it came with. And you could strap it to your leg, like your thigh. So when you were, like, leaned up against a tree and you had your knees bent up to lean your gun, your call was right in front of you. And you could call with one hand, which was kind of handy until it got wet.
Okay, which inevitably happens in springtime. Like, it's going to rain. Probably going to rain tomorrow, Derek. So, are you going out hunting tomorrow?
So, tomorrow, it's definitely looking like it's going to be a wet one. I'm going to go in the morning before school. I usually get about maybe an hour hunt right before school. So, I'm going to go sit before school. It's supposed to be somewhat dry. And then I don't know if I'll get out after, but definitely before school tomorrow.
Watch you take a bird right out the gate. Day one, first sit, first morning. Boom.
It won't be a boom. I'm bringing the bow with.
Oh, you're going to do a bow.
So it'll be a swack.
What are you using for a broadhead?
It's like a 2-inch, 3-blade Grim Reaper expandable. It's one of my old whitetail ones, but now I shoot a little bit smaller diameter on deer, so I'm going to use that bigger one for turkey.
Where are you going to aim on the bird? Like, where you're not going to take a guillotine shot, right?
I'll shoot him in the body, try for the old vital shot.
Okay. I've heard of a horror story, and I don't know if it's true or not. I don't remember who told me the story, and therefore I don't even know how credible it is, but and I'll leave any names out of it because I don't want to publicly like go down this path. But essentially, somebody shot a turkey with a bow and arrow, went to go recover the bird. Bird wasn't dead, probably common. Now that I've encountered one in person up close. Like, I understand they're large animals. It flopped in such a way that the arrow penetrated the person with the bird. And later on, doctors had said, like, if it was, you know, the typical, if it's an inch this way or an inch that way, you'd have been dead. But he was hunting by himself on a morning hunt. And then, like, it's a carbon arrow that he used. So he eventually, like, walked into someone's backyard up to their back patio with this turkey up to his chest with this arrow in him. And then, like, they called the paramedics. The paramedics came. They pulled the bird off the arrow. And then, like, they couldn't cut it. They couldn't cut the arrow. So he eventually had to get flown into the hospital because they couldn't cut the carbon arrow. And he had a broadhead in him. And this is, like, a local person in Wisconsin. This is, like, based on, like, the details of how this went, this story sounds true. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I've never heard that story before.
Greg might know who I'm talking about.
Do you know I don't remember who you're talking about, but I remember you telling me the story before.
How crazy. So, I mean, like, if you're going to use your bow, just please be careful when you walk up on
I will try. And not, I'm going to try not to get lethally attacked by a turkey tomorrow.
Like, I know they have spurs and that could hurt, but an arrow in the chest, like, that's a whole different, like, level of. Could you imagine if like, that actually killed you and what it would have taken to, like, what, like, carrying a 20-pound bird in your hands and your chest as you're injured with the fucking broadhead in your chest?
And trying not to move that arrow.
And then the person that, like, he walked up on, they're probably like, what is this psychopath doing in my backyard on my, by my
Could you imagine
door?
If the bird was still alive?
Well, I think it kind of was. I think it was still flopping around. So somewhere in that story, I think he had to, like, break its neck or something or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it'll be worth tracking him down and getting him on the show to tell the story himself, because I'm probably doing it zero justice, or, like, I'm probably getting all the details wrong.
This sounds like a bad day.
But, yeah, you're having a great day. You just killed a bird. You walk up on it. You're like, yay, this is, I'm going to go to work. Done. You're now I'm dying almost. And I get flown to the hospital. Like, what
gobble, gobble,
happened?
Sucker.
Turkey revenge. Like, I hope he ate that fucking bird.
Did you guys ever see that? It was like a PC game way back in the day when we were kids. It was called Deer Avenger, and you got to be a deer and hunt people.
No, what?
Oh, I've heard God. Of it. I've never played it.
Oh, it was a great game, dude. You were a deer and you got to, like, choose your weapon. You go out in the woods and you could, like, you had, like, calls. So, like, Matt would appreciate this being the call guy. Like, a bag of Doritos was one of the calls, and you would, like, crinkle the bag, and then, like, these chubby hunters would come popping out of the bushes.
That would get me every time. Yeah. That would definitely get me. I have the chat open here, so Drew, hello. Terry, hello. All the way from Michigan. Average Joe with a bow. Hello, hello. Tony Cordero, what's up? Brandon said live stream. Strime, get it? Because Matt Strime is here. Didn't I make up a nickname for you at the trade show with your last name?
Possibly.
Strime, stream, Strymon. I don't know. I feel like you're like, wow, how has no one said that yet to date? And I was like, wow, that's fun. But now I don't fucking remember it, so it doesn't matter. I feel like I'm swearing more than I should tonight. I'm sorry for the listeners for the cuss words. But how excited are you for turkey season, Matt? I'm like, this is like, you kind of live for the season, that and muskies. But I mean, you are the co-host of the OKS Fisher podcast. Also, for the, I didn't introduce that part in the intro. Sorry, my bad. That should have been okay. Called out. But turkeys is like your second love language.
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah, we're pretty. I'll be out too tomorrow morning, pending crazy downstorms, but it'll be early morning.
Public, private, permission. What do you got?
Yes. We got a little bit of everything.
So I'm not telling anybody on the podcast where I'm hunting.
No, we got public. We have some private that we get access to every year. So just depends where the birds are. That's why I like it. You don't see one on one chunk. You go to another one, go to another one, go to another one until you find birds.
Did you go up for the youth hunt or no?
We went for the mentor hunt, which we had adults first time.
That was through BHA?
Correct.
Yep, how'd that go?
Went good. I went up with Greg and my brother-in-law. We spent most of the day. We scouted a new chunk of property for him. We didn't hunt with anybody. We were just trying to find them birds if they couldn't find them themselves. I think they went 2 for 6 and then one shot and missed. So they got two birds.
You got them on the birds then?
Yeah. I mean, they were on some birds. We potentially put them on. I don't know.
Were you calling for them like you did for me?
No. We were looking at a different chunk of property to see if we could find them some good sign, and we did. There was a good sign there. I would go back and hunt that.
Yeah. So it's funny because Derek, you drew the flocked up hat, and my bad. I didn't realize that was an unfinished work of art. So it's out there, and when we sell out, we'll commission you again to complete that in its final version, and that'll be neat. But nonetheless, I saw me and my wife drove up to Green Bay over the weekend with the kids to visit some friends, and there was like a whole mess of toms just in full strut in this field. It's just like a bunch of, like you said, Matt, I think at some point when we were hunting together last year on the YouTube thing that people can watch, Eric's first turkey or whatever we called it, I was like, what else do you call these things? And you're like, trash bags. And I'm like, yeah, it looks like a bunch of freaking trash bags out there. Like, but they're flocked up. And I was like, oh, flocked up. That's the hat. Oh, my God. Yeah, here we are. Like, I felt really excited. And my wife's like, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about at all. I was like, the hat that I'm wearing on my head. Flocked up. That's what they're doing. She's like, it just looks like a bunch of trash bags.
Better than a trash bag hat, I suppose.
Maybe that'll be our next design. What's with the hat? Are you a garbage man? No, it's a turkey.
That's pretty flocked up, man.
Oh. That's pretty flocked up, dude. Yeah. You know what? Why don't you shut the flock up? That's a good man. I should start doing that instead of swearing.
No, they're definitely flocked up right now. Every turkey I've been seeing, except for this afternoon after picking up the kids, I saw a few lone hens walking around, but pretty much every time I've seen has been with a big group of turkeys in the last couple of weeks. Matt, what have you seen?
The one I saw this morning, the road strutter, that one had four hens with it, solo tom and four hens. So
he was living good.
He was. He was living the best life he could. And I noticed he didn't have a spur on his right side. So if I do get a shot at that one, I got video of him beforehand.
That's nice. Kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Speaking of like other podcasts on the network mentioning OK's Fisher, Turkey Season's another podcast on the network hosted by Paul Campbell. He's out this entire week. I think he prepped everything from a podcast standpoint. But he just shot is it called a Rio Grande?
Rio Grande, yeah.
Am I saying it wrong?
Is he in Texas, right?
He went south somewhere, might be Texas. He probably told me, but I don't remember what he said.
Texas is sticking out.
Yeah, Texas. I'm getting next week's show loaded up. I'm reading his Texas right now. Headed to Texas in about 2 hours. I'll be off grid until Tuesday. But then he had texted me that he got a Rio Grande. I want to say Grande, like a Taco Bell.
Give me a Rio Grande, please.
But so congrats to Paul. And if you haven't checked out Turkey Season,
good show.
It's a beautiful show. It's not like what you think. It's not tactical. It's a narrative story about the history of turkeys in our country. And it's really cool how he's done it.
It's super neat.
I don't know if you checked it out or not.
I did.
It's very deep.
Not all the episodes, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, Derek, if you've caught any of those or not, but they're pretty fun stories about like very influential people that have had a deposit on the turkey in this world or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not doing enough justice.
Influential. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the one he finished like a series of some guy, but I'm not doing a good job because I say some guy, that in and of itself is disrespectful.
He's the guy.
He's the guy. I just am not part of that world as much as I am the whitetail one. So whatever that's worth. Although, Derek, I'm not that great in the whitetail world either. When you were in Iowa with us, you found some famous guy walking the aisles and you're like, oh, my God, did you see who that was? I was like, I have no clue.
I just about ripped the shed out of the guy's hand. There's a guy walking by with a giant shed. And I was like, oh, man, that's a beauty. And I was like, can I see it? And then I looked at his face and I'm like, holy shit, I know who that is. Sorry for touching your shed, man.
Sorry for touching your shed. Who was it?
It was Jeff Lindsay. The Lindsay Way, they got a show on, like, you know, they've been filming. There's a father-son duo that have been.
Is that who? I thought there was another guy, an older guy that Tyler was talking
to. Yeah, Tom Nelson, American Archer also.
That's good. So you had two celebrity encounters that you.
Yeah, and then the neighbor across the way, Tim Sylvia, the MMA fighter. He's got a booth. He told me that he took shits bigger than me. It was a hell of a day.
That was a star-studded trade show. Yeah, and then who is it? Josh Bomar bought one of our grunt tubes that you made, Matt. Mm-hmm. And I heard nothing ever since then.
I think he killed his last 200 with that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he must have. I mean, clearly. What else is he going to use? Oh, yeah. We babysat his kids for a while in the booth. I don't think he knew we did, but we did. They were there. We were entertaining them.
I remember I was out ice fishing, and I got a text from you saying that.
Yeah.
I just sold a call to Bomar.
Yeah, well, there's all this controversy around the guy, so I was like, I don't know how to feel about this, but...
That's so cool, though.
I was like, he was nice enough in person, so, you know, he's a human being. Mm-hmm. Human beings are nice.
He's a very big human being.
He has feelings.
He takes up a lot of mass. I was like, wow, you're in this booth, but, like, you're really taking up a lot of space in here, Josh.
Taking up the left
quadrant. Just stand over there, like, you're blocking the...
Have you guys seen any of his archery turkey slow-mo shots from previous seasons?
Not yet.
They got, Matt, maybe you've seen it. They got some super, super, really slow frames per second rate camera that records an incredible slow motion. And they have some really cool, I mean, they got a bunch of different archery stuff, obviously, but their turkey headshots are really cool. Super slow-mo, like on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, super rowdy. Yeah. Not for the faint of heart.
You see a lot of things in slow motion of things coming apart.
Things that, yeah, things that should be attached.
Yeah. It's a real beak splitter.
Jeez. Are headshots as controversial as reaping?
Reaping.
No, headshots are kind of just embraced because, like, in archery, you hear, like, I don't know what the kill percentage is of, like, all turkeys shot at with bows, but it's pretty, I feel like it's not great. Like, a lot of people I talk to have wounded turkeys with bows, shooting them in the body. But with a headshot, it's kind of like you either kill them or you just clean miss them.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I could, yeah. But that head's like a really small moving target. That would be a challenge. So that's why there's some of these broadheads that exist that are like really large. But then what's the flight pattern of a broadhead like that on an arrow?
Yep.
Like how accurate is, like, so, okay, you're getting a larger broadhead to get that target to be the small target not matters much, but then your accuracy must waver a little bit, right? Like it's a little bit of a trade-off, isn't it?
Big time. Yeah, because you got 4-inch cutting, you know, diameter going through the air, and you catch one little wind current, it's going off, but you're kind of aiming more generically because you have a bigger, you know, you're aiming at a small head with a big.
So you like the guy from Along Came Polly, just Rain Man, like that guy, got him. I don't know. It seems crazy.
Yeah, it's a. I've never shot those guillotines. I know people that do.
Guillotine. That's thank you for that's what it's
gobbler
called.
Gobbler guillotine.
Gobbler, and that's a whole thing. Like, I think there's YouTube channels that just have like
headshots,
you know, 15 minutes of gobbler guillotines. It's just like, holy shit.
I mean, in reality, though, like 15 yards with the gobbler guillotine is not going to change that much. But when you're shooting 20, 25, and you're basically, I don't know, throwing a lopsided softball down there, it's going to do weird things.
Lopsided softball. But you're a hell of an archer, too. Like, you do 3D leagues all summer long. Derek, I think you're really naturally gifted as an archer, but I think Matt gives you a run for your money. You're very precise.
That's a great archer. Yep.
And you won't ever say anything because you're a very nice guy and you're super humble and you have no ego. And I love that about you, but like you take your shit seriously is how I would position it, which is good. So then do you archery hunt turkey ever? Like, what are you using if you did?
I don't. I mean, I've killed them with bows before. I just take the boomstick out. I usually go before work and don't have all the time in the world. So it's like to get it done.
So, Derek, why are you bow hunting for turkey tomorrow? Then what's the deal with you?
To be honest, I just did that Texas hunt over spring break. And the idea of that whole hunt to go hunt hogs was to do it with a bow. And we didn't end up using the bows at all. No one used them. So I shot a couple pigs with the gun and it was like I had my fill. Now I want to, you know, I want to take the bow back to going down there. So I want to shoot one with the bow. I just feel like bow hunting. I don't know.
Just feel like, well, that's good. That's a good answer. I'm not judging. I don't care. I just wonder, like, did you get like permission access? And they're like, hey, I don't really want to shoot a shotgun that early
no,
in the morning.
This will be public, and I'm sure I'll have a buddy or two in the same spot as me in the morning. So I'm just going to try to get there early, and I'm going to bring my little – I got, like, that leafy 3D netting stuff. You know what I'm talking about? It's, like, kind of green-colored netting. And last year I had luck just kind of hanging that in some buckthorn, you know, between me and the birds, and that gave me a chance to draw my bow. And then once they kind of clear that, I just put the decoys kind of beyond me so the turkeys have to walk past me, hopefully, so I can get my bow drawn, let them kind of walk past me, position, and, you know, they won't do that. They'll do something completely different, but, you know, that's the plan at least.
Are you getting out before sunrise?
Oh, yeah.
You're setting up like that? See, I'm doing it different. With the rain and everything, we're going to get out there right as the sun's cracking. And then we're just going to listen and figure out where the birds are because I haven't roosted them yet. So that's kind of the plan, and make a spot and stalk on them, hopefully in a couple hours, and take care of business.
Yeah, I went and sat this morning just in my vehicle watching the spot that I've been kind of checking. And another guy came after me, and it was cracking daylight, and he kind of walked right through the field where I thought they were going to pitch down. So he definitely pushed him off. I made a loop around in my vehicle and saw him go the other way. So I'm assuming he's going to do the same thing tomorrow, because I don't know. He just seems to want to go to this one parking spot, which is not a good place to park. And so I'm just going to get on the other side where they went down, and I'm going to set up early. I know I have a pretty good idea they're going to be back up on this knob. And hopefully he just applies a little bit of pressure and they come down toward me and walk this field line. A couple cedar trees, I'll tuck in those and we'll see what happens.
How fast was he going when he showed up to this proverbial spot? Yes,
he was. He pulled in fast, and then he opened his door real quiet, but then slammed the lift gate to get his chair
out. Like, why wouldn't you just stay in your vehicle with the lights off and just monitor? What do you think the point? Like, I almost wonder, do you think he was trying to get the turkeys to go a certain way? Like, tomorrow might be different. Maybe he won't go to the same spot. Maybe he'll go to where he pushed them.
He was trying to push him onto private.
Yeah, like, was there some other motive here?
He definitely couldn't
push
him. I think he was just running late and thought that the turkeys would be somewhere else, but I had a pretty good idea of where they were, and they were right there. So he walked, like, kind of, I don't know, 80 yards from them through the open field, so I'm positive they saw him. And he went and plopped his chair down on the other side of the field and kind of watched back toward his car. So I don't really know what the strategy was there, but hey, who am I to question it? Maybe he's got a better plan than me.
Did he see you? Or
yeah,
no,
he definitely saw me. I was parked with my window down holding my video camera. With a little puzzled look on my face.
Hey, public plan,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah,
all
right. It is what it is.
Sounds good. You
know, maybe he'll skip out. It's going to be wet in the morning. I don't think it's going to be raining. Well, you never know. It could be storming. So maybe I won't be out
there. It looked real hit or miss. That's why I'm kind of excited about it. Like, not just a solid rainstorm, little bands coming through. Hopefully you can use that.
Yeah, I only get out for a little bit of time. Like, I got to be at school at 7 o'clock, and that's 30 minutes from there. So I don't have a ton of time, but if I can get them to fly down and be in the right spot, you never know.
You got like 40 minutes.
Yeah, and they're going to get down late tomorrow, right? It's going to be cloudy, overcast. They're going to be all wet. They're not going to want to fly down.
No, they're going to stay in for a little bit.
I love that you think that way. Like, they're not going to want to fly down. It's going to be cold. Like, I don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah, it's going to stay
a cold, rainy day. Like, they're going to like this. I'm not getting out of bed this early.
Well, then it stays darker longer, too.
So they're cloud cover. So they're like, man, it's not sun yet.
Mm-hmm. We can wait.
They need cover of light, not darkness, to, like, they're...
They need light to see.
They need light to see, but also, like, they wouldn't want to be victim of predation in, like, by nocturnal creatures, right? Like a coyote or an owl, or I don't know what, like, eats them. What eats turkeys?
All of that. Raccoons.
So they stay in the trees at night to avoid a lot of that, right? Mm-hmm. So then if it's still dark, they're like, I'm not getting down. I'm not going to get pegged off by a coyote.
Exactly.
But do the coyotes stay up late?
Yeah. There's probably some overlap.
Do the owls?
You know, first shift, third shift.
Are you doing any shock gobbling? Like, are you trying to instigate shock gobbles? Are you bringing any other calls with you out there?
I usually, guys? If I'm trying to get them to fire off, I just yelp real loud real quick and see if they're, you know, if you get one to fire and then shut up right away or slam your car door, or I don't bring any other calls. So it's a pot call.
It's not like deer hunting. You actually want to slam your car door to alert them.
Yep. You want to know where they are. That makes sense.
But then they know where you are, kind of.
Kind of, but
so it's a bit of a trade-off, right?
But it's dark out. They can't see very well.
Slam the car door. Gotcha.
Like I always said, the cool thing is with turkey hunting, though, is everything resets at the end of the day. It's not like deer hunting that way.
Oh, I like the way you said that. Everything resets at the end of the day. It's like a video game.
Mm-hmm. Or chess or whatever game you want to
play. And they're so stupid, we get to try again tomorrow. The same.
Yep, it's like wave. Like, good battle today, guys. See you tomorrow.
But at some point they wise up, right? A little bit.
Yeah, but the thing is, it doesn't matter. They're going to wise up, but they still have to roost every night. So, like, they don't travel around all night long. They are literally sleeping.
But where they pick to roost could be changing.
Yep.
So where I live, turkeys flew uphill the other day to get into roost. So across the street from me, if you look south out of my front door, mm-hmm. those trees, they were roosting in those trees right there. But they flew from a neighbor, like from our backyard, which is all downhill from where we sit. I thought that was kind of, usually they would fly kind of uphill. I mean, they were straight up flying. I was in the middle of the road talking to my neighbors across the street. They're very old. They didn't really know what the hell was going on. And I was like, look, a turkey. They're like, what? I'm like, oh, fuck. It's a turkey. It's flying over your head. They're like, turkeys? I'm like, well, yeah, the turkeys. They're in the trees now. They're in the they're roosting in the trees. Forget it. Forget about the turkeys.
The tree? What?
They didn't know. But I was like, they're freaking right there. They just flew uphill to get into these trees over here. And that's where they roosted. I was like, I bet you they're going to come down, fly downhill tomorrow morning into my bird feeder. You know, that was what I thought. No, I don't think they did that.
No. They got a mind of their own. Yeah.
Some of them ran, though, too. They were running. And they run and they just look like everything's shaking on them because they're so freaking awkward. So then I pointed to the old people again. I was like, neighbors, look, there's one running. And they barely caught a glimpse of that one. They still didn't know what's going on.
That's the funniest thing to hear in the woods, especially like bull hunting in the fall, is a turkey trying to fly up into a tree. Cause it just sounds like a bowling ball just bouncing off of things, feathers flying everywhere, and tree branches breaking.
They can fly okay.
Yeah, takes them a little bit to get going. Like a Boeing 757.
Yeah, that's why we got that sticker on our website, the B-52.
The DNR, yep. The DNR needs to do a little bit more about these turkeys because, I mean, we can't trim lanes for archery, but, man, these turkeys are taking out runways and up and down. It's doing some damage.
I think we have some DNR wardens on the podcast as our guests next week.
Oh, cool.
Not biologists, wardens. And it'll be a bit of like a day in the life of a warden. Here in Wisconsin, that should be a fun episode. Derek, are you coming for that one? I don't remember.
I'm trying to make it happen. I am trying to make it happen for sure.
All right, keep me posted on that. Sorry to publicly ask.
No, we've been talking about it. Trying to make it happen.
Yeah. We don't have any callers. I got this ticker rolling on the bottom of the screen. Call into the show 262-757-4122. No calls in the queue yet. If you guys want to call in and talk turkey to us, that'd be pretty neat. Put in your mouth call. Let's hear what you got. Or, you know, are you going to be out hunting the Wisconsin opener tomorrow? It's tomorrow, yep. Right?
Yeah.
Like first we're period. Past youth and the other stuff. So first period starts tomorrow. Like who else is going to be out? What are you excited about? What are you going to, like, are you
hunting? I got a question for Matt.
I won't be out for a while. So I won't be out till the end of May. I have period F.
No, same here. I got that one too.
Oh,
well, go ahead, I got a Derek. Question for Matt. Speaking of periods. So, lots of different outlooks on what period is ideal.
I just took a drink when you said that.
I'll do my best.
So every 28th. what is your favorite time to be successful in the Wisconsin turkey seasons? We got period A, B, C, D, E, F, G. No, F.
No.
What's your favorite time to be successful? What do you find to be your favorite?
I like early to scratch the itch, but I also like the last one because then you can just seal off the season. I like all seasons, but you can kill birds in every season. I don't think of it as a time of the year. It's time of the day that matters. If that makes sense. Later in the season, I feel like I get luckier later in the day.
Why? Is that?
I don't know. It's just how it's trends.
Are they, do you think they're more pressured? I mean, they've been hunted through these periods, but it's spread out in such a way. We had no issue late season last season.
No, we had
called them in on a freaking string, man. It was crazy.
And that was, maybe it's the properties I hunt. I noticed that later in the year, they're not as vocal in the mornings, whether or not they're on the tail end of that bell curve. For, you know, their breeding period, and they're not as fired up or something like that. But for whatever reason, later in the day, usually, like, we kill most of our birds between 8 and 11 o'clock anyways, any season.
Okay.
But it seems like that 8 to 11 shifts from, like, 11 to 2-ish. I don't know. It could just be me and the properties I'm hunting, too. But
I mean, it's all relative here in Wisconsin to some degree. At least we're all hunting southeast Wisconsin by and large.
Yep.
It can't be that drastically difference between where you're at, where I'm at, where Greg's at, where Derek's at, like, because we're hunting on the same general, like
property layouts.
Yeah.
I think it just comes down to knowing your flock, like knowing the birds you're hunting, because every flock acts different. It's you have birds that fire off real early, you have birds that stay quiet until first group's done, and then they chime in, because it's like a weird hierarchy kind of thing.
Pecking order, right?
Pecking order, yep. They're literally pecking.
I think we've talked on the show at length about the Jakes that come in and gangster beat the shit out of the dead Tom. I find that to be very interesting behavior.
Yeah, power in numbers.
Rolling deep, boys. Go get him. Well, he's already dead. Don't kick him while he's on the dirt, guys. Like, the hell's wrong with you, psycho birds?
There's training.
Training. But it's reestablishing pecking order now that the king is dead.
Yep.
Now a new king can emerge. Yep. I'm the tough guy in the block. I've beat up the dead guy. They're just weird.
They're cool. They're almost like so dumb.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's a real thing. Like, you think they're like, oh, I'm gonna plan on him walking through here because it makes more sense because he's gonna do this, and all of a sudden he like walks right behind you and pecks you in the back of the head. It's like a deer would have never came from that direction. And you gotta stop thinking some deer tactics sometimes when you're hunting them too. But yeah, they're so.
We don't have to worry about scent nearly as much or at all, right?
At all.
I could freaking grill out there if I wanted to and they wouldn't care.
Yeah. We've smoked cigars in the woods before.
All right. Good to know.
Mm-hmm. If they could smell, I doubt any of us would be able to kill them.
Yeah.
Because I think how sweaty
it's just the movement and like you got to be more covered up in camo have some sort of concealment of some sort.
Yep. Yeah. Basically, the big thing is not moving. I have old Walmart camo and stuff I put on just for different situations where we're setting up, and as long as you don't move. We had birds 2 years ago. I had one Tom, like the feathers were about a foot away from my foot. It came in backside on us.
Jeez.
Yeah, we couldn't move at all.
Did you shoot that one a foot away?
No. I was calling. And then surprisingly, for how close he was, it came in with like 9 or 10 hens, and then we never had a shot on because they're all lined up in a row in our shooting lane. So if we had shot one, we'd have like dominoed 6 of them. So,
but like, you can't shoot the hens, right?
No. If it has a beard, you could.
Can you ever shoot a hen?
Fall. Yes, in the fall.
So in the fall, you could shoot a hen or a tom?
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically deer season. I bought turkey tags during deer season. Never seen a turkey when I've had the possession of the tag. I've seen them when I didn't, of course. But I thought, well, maybe if I see a turkey, at least I won't be so bored. I'll shoot it.
Yeah.
That's my logic.
They protect the hens in the breeding season.
That's smart, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of the management practices? Is it favorable for here? I know it's very different from state to state because there are a lot of people sounding off.
It's very different county to county in some instances too. Because I've heard of counties in southern Wisconsin doing very well, and then other people saying our bird numbers are crazy down. I can't speak much for the central, the state, west, and that much real far north. But it's all, you can basically look at how the turkey herd's doing by how many tags are left up, or at least that's what DNR thinks how the turkey herds are doing. Derek, how are numbers looking by you?
Like by me by the cabin or by me by the house?
Well, yes.
By me by the house seems to be pretty decent. Right now, driving around, you're not seeing them everywhere. Obviously, they're all flocked up. But where they're flocked up, I'm seeing pretty good-sized groups. So I'd say it's pretty good, about average, from the last couple of years that I've been down here. And up north, man, they're more scarce in the northern part of the state, but there's still birds around. When I walked up there shed hunting, we saw a turkey sign here and there. So there's definitely birds around. It's not real high numbers, and hunting up there is a little bit different. But yeah, there's pretty decent population in northeastern Wisconsin.
As I say, the stuff down by me is pretty consistent over the past 3 or 4 years. Seems like everything's kind of working well together.
It's good to hear. Paula no more. He's also like the host of the turkey season. He's also the director of BizDev for NWTF. So he's pretty plugged into that world. and talks a lot of biologists and things of that nature. It's always good to kind of hear his disposition on too. Water Oak Forge, I got number 6 of 6 of the Weathered Oaks OKest Hunter calls.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's only 6 of those bad boys.
Was that one of the ones you guys sold at the Dells show?
No, that was online. So after the show, we put the rest online. And I mean, no, I don't think he's from Wisconsin.
No, I think.
Not the 6 of 6.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think that one.
But once we put them online, I think they sold out in like a day.
Good.
Or two, maybe. I don't remember, but it was pretty quick.
I'm glad.
Maybe we owe you money. I don't know. Talk to Tyler. You can go. Where's my money, man?
I'll just shoot him a text.
It's not my problem.
So check the books.
Check them. Check them.
We're going to have a conversation.
We make good on our. That was a cool collab, man. I'm glad that you did that. And I was really happy with how they turned out.
So was I.
I mean, I think our first sale of the entire trade show was one of those calls because Noah, who calls into the show regularly, came by and got like, I think he got 1 of 6, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think he looked for the number one. So
we got a caller on the line. Alec, you're live on the show. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Alec, long-time listener, first-time caller. Just kidding. I call you guys all the time. Wanted to get your thoughts on some turkey hunting tactics that may be a little, call it faux pas. We always talk about setting up decoys and calling birds in and, you know, having them come into the decoys and taking your shot there. What do you guys think about shooting birds either on the wing or in the roost? How does that line up, what you guys think? You know, I think about waterfowl hunting and water swatting. We shame people for water swatting, which I do all the time. What do you guys think about roost or
That's a good swatting? Question.
I got an answer for it. I feel like I've been asked this question before, but I can't remember.
Was it Alec?
No, yeah. I don't. I can't remember who. But how I answer this question for roost shooting is if it's within or after shooting hours, like legal, it's legal to do it. You have every right to, as long as you know your target and what's beyond. I personally love playing chess with them, so I will wait till they get down. But that's just my personal opinion on it. And as for wing shooting, if you...
Was that on its way down?
Well, yeah.
Is that what that means? I'm just making
sure. I would assume so, or flying away. Depends on...
Well, at that point, it's like you're giant grouse hunting, right?
Yeah, then you just pull trigger, blast. Hopefully you hit them. But if it's completely legal to do in your area, your state, do it. If not, I mean, I like playing the chess game. I like the interaction with them.
I don't have an opinion because I don't really know
difference. What's your opinion?
I mean, if I was like spot and stalking turkey and it was within the legal, you know, range of time, and I don't know that I'd ever see one in a tree. I just probably wouldn't even see it. I'd be like, I'd walk under it, never know it was there. If I walked up on one in a tree, that'd be a weird shot to take. I feel like I would feel compelled to do it, but I'm an idiot, so like, I'm not the right person to think about this. And I certainly wouldn't try to shoot it on the wing because I can't shoot a pheasant to save my life. I've never gone pheasant hunting.
It's like
I can't shoot trap. I don't lead the target well in trap. I'm pretty terrible. I have a terrible instinct for that. I'm a marks. I can shoot a dead eye on a still target with a rifle. I can't shoot shit with a shotgun in that context. So it's a no for me, dog.
It's a no for me, dog.
I like it. I mean,
what about you, Derek?
Personally, go ahead.
Oh, Derek. Yeah. I've never shot one from the roost. I guess, yeah, like Matt said, if it's legal shooting time and that's, you know, what you're in the position, you've got in there, you snuck in there, go for it. That's not something that I'm going to plan on doing just because, I don't know, I don't like ground swatting grouse. I don't like shooting grouse out of trees. I like to flush them up and kind of like to play the game too. So personally, I'm not going to be doing that. But if it's within your legal rights, have at it. As far as shooting on the wing, I mean, I've taken a lot of follow-up shots on the wing. None of them have worked out for me. But yeah, hey, go for it. I think that's kind of fun.
I mean, are these birds basically giant pheasants?
Sure.
Could you argue that?
Yeah, it's just a big bird.
It's just way a lot.
I don't know. Like, is it an upland game? Is turkey considered an upland bird?
It's a ground nesting bird, yeah.
It is considered an upland bird from a regulatory perspective, yeah.
Crazy. So what's your disposition, Alec?
100% not above either tactic. I think it was I had an A tag, A week tag the first week, and my now fiance had a tag at the same time. So I was like, you know what? We're going to go out and try to get you your first bird. And we did the whole song and dance. We called this time in twice, but we were in some grassy stuff and she couldn't see the beard. So she didn't take the shot, which is a fantastic level of restraint, especially for a new hunter like my fiance. So he ended up getting away, but roosted in the tree well before it was getting dark, maybe 60 yards away. So I was like, well, I'm gonna go see if I can shoot him. So I tried putting the sneak on him, and then a coyote started ripping off maybe 50 yards away, spooked him out of the tree, and he flew left when he should have flown right. And I feel very confident in my shotgun shooting abilities, so was able to drop him in one hit on nice. The wing. And I feel, you know, I did the song and dance. I just, you know, I called him in, all of that stuff. You know, we can just ignore the portion in the middle between when he came in and when he ended up in the tree. So, you know, I checked all the boxes. So I'm good to go.
Heck right? Yeah. Nice shooting.
Yeah. Good work. I'm glad that you're confident in your shotgun skills. I've never been great with a shotgun, so unless there's a slug in it, that's different.
You hit that bird last year just fine.
Well, that was Greg's shotgun, and it was a freaking layup shot. It didn't. There's nothing going on. It was
fair.
You know, close quarter. Everything was great. Water. Oh God, I can't say. Words are really hard. He said he actually held his son back from a roosted tom this past weekend. We let him fly down and got ghosted hard. Don't think I'll talk him out of that again. Dad, why won't you just let me shoot him? Well, son, let him fly down. Let's play the game. Nothing. It's the last time I listened to you, Dad. That's how that went.
And then
I'm guessing.
Well, the only pro tip I can give on father-son hunting together during youth turkey season, and this is not from personal experience because I neither have a son nor a father that hunted, but apparently there was a guy in Waukesha County this weekend that got in a little bit of trouble with the warden for deciding to take the shot for his son during youth turkey season. So pro tip, don't poach during youth season. You will get
in
caught.
In front of your kid too, likely, right? Like, you got to teach him the right way.
That defeats the whole yep. entire purpose.
Yep.
That's a whole different conversation and dialogue that exists in the deer yeah. world too. And I think it's a big ego thing. And I don't like that at all. Defeats the whole entire freaking purpose.
Yes. Agreed. 100%.
That's yeah. a sour topic.
Did you see our buddy John's question here?
Yeah, I put up on the screen for a second. It flashed over, but he said, John, where did it go? Are all the OHP guys bow hunting turkeys this season? Any sub-gauge scatter guns? I'm going to shoot a shotgun probably.
Shotgun here.
And as far as like scatter gun, I don't know, John. I'm not the guy to ask.
You guys are both using that. 12-gauge, right? I think yep. he's...
I have a shotgun at my dad's house still that I don't... It's a 12-gauge pump action, and it's ginormous. Like it's tall as I am. It's like a 6 foot long freaking barrel. It's his gun. Maybe I'll get it if I need it. He'll let me grab it. Otherwise, it's if I go with Greg. Maybe I think he's got an extra shotgun he lent me last year. That was fine. I'd love to. I should
go Eric, with the longer barrel, You may, like, if you're, you know, you flush one up and you shoot, you know, you don't have to shoot from the wing. You might be able to reach out there and smack it out of the air.
That's a big gun, man. I got the gun pictured in one of the, I got my first deer ever with that shotgun with the slug. And so that gun's laid across the deer in the photo. And it's very, very, like, it's an abnormally large barrel on the gun. It's super big. And it's like some, I don't know what the brand is at all. My dad got it when he was a young man. Some no name. I'm sure there is a name to the brand. I just don't know what it is. It's not like a recognizable brand. And so I think he got his first deer with it. I got my first deer with it. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Other than that, I think I may have brought it trap shooting once or something.
Were you hitting the clays out of this?
Yeah, I was like, this thing's just not, what's going on? Why is this gun so big compared to everyone else's? Like, what's going on? It feels like I don't have the right gun for this. I think it made fun of, per se, but it's kind of like, Jesus, Eric, what are you doing? This is like World War II.
It's a caricature gun.
Alec, thanks for the call. You got anything else for us while you're on? Oh, he dropped off. Well, he did a better job than I did policing the call queue.
Bye, Alec.
Bye. Thanks for the call,
big
buddy.
Shout out to Oak Tree Dreams. If that's Drew on there, I think two of his sons killed turkeys last weekend. I saw pictures floating around. Congrats to the boys, Drew. Well done. Good work, fellas.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet you didn't shoot those birds, Drew.
Probably did it right. I have been looking. I've been looking at 410s. I went to Fleet Farm, brought my son. My son just turned 7, and he's definitely looking to maybe start getting out turkey hunting. So we were looking at some 410s. You know, I probably have to get it before he starts hunting just to test it, make sure it's worthwhile, you know, make sure it works. But I secretly want to get one too. So we might be getting one sooner than later.
That'd be pretty cool. Your son will be freaking jacked, man. He's obsessed. Sounds like we need to, someone commented, sounds like we need to see an OKS hunter crew clay shooting team. Yeah, that would be an OKS event for sure. I mean, like, it takes me a whole round to get the feel for it. And so by the time I get good, it's too late. It's like bowling. Like, you know, I don't bowl enough to be good. So it takes me a whole round to get good and warmed up. And then by that time it's over. I'm like, I finally just figured it out.
And then you forget it by next week.
Yeah, and then I'm done again. Then I'm like, oh, I'll do this. See, again, next year's, you know, business dev outing, clay shooting thing. And everyone just assumes, like, oh, you hunt, you probably are good with this. I'm like, no, I suck at it, actually. It's a very instinctive shot.
Yeah,
if you're not practicing all the time, like, you, those instincts aren't there, really. Like, I think that'd be very akin to shooting a trad bow, like a recurve or something.
Yeah.
I just, unless you're doing it often, you're probably not going to be great. I mean, that's partially true for your compound also, but the feel for it thing is different.
You got a pin to look at with a compound at least.
Like, I'm trying to, like, rifle these clays out of the sky. Like, I'm waiting for it to cross my path. I get to cross it on a boom. Like, that's not how you're supposed to do it. You, like, lead it, spray it. No. It takes me a whole round of doing that to get good at it.
Might as well just donate money to the fund.
That's what I do. Yeah. No, I'll get the raffle prizes. We do have another caller, and then we'll maybe bring the plane in for landing here. We got, I don't know if I'm going to say this name right. Might be Chris. I'm not sure. You're live on the show. Who do we got?
Drew with Oak Tree Dreams.
Oh, Drew, what's going on? Why is it? Yeah, well, welcome to the show, buddy. It says Turkey Han. That's what it showed
up
on.
Yeah, I was supposed to say Turkey Hunting, but, like, yeah, I probably just slurred the words or whatever.
I was like, Han Solo, Turkey Hunter, maybe there's something to this. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I figured to call in quick, just say hi. And yeah, I definitely wasn't doing the shooting. I was definitely out of commission, so, and I'm not a youth, so.
Let's hear the story, man. How'd those boys do? Tell the story.
Yeah, give it to me.
Well, honestly, my middle son, he's kind of, Not to put any shade on my oldest, like, he's kind of a natural born hunter, it seems like. Like, he's just very in tune with that kind of stuff. In the morning, at first light, because we had, like, over 20 birds roosted, like, no joke. It's the most we ever had on public land or this patch that we hunt. And so we're out there, got one gobbling, and it was the only one that was solo that was away from hens. Well, he pitched down, went to the other side of the clear cut and joined all the other turkeys, which I guess, whatever. It worked out, obviously, but we were about to leave that spot to go try and see if we can't fire up a Tom at one of the other spots on public land and leave these ones alone for a little bit. And we're about to leave. Well, we seen up in the road where we have to go four strutters, and they were with like 9 hens. And we're like, oh, you know, this is exactly what happened. Like the one time we were set up on joined them. And we're about to hop in the truck and get going. Well, these kids come flying by and go, good luck, fellas, or whatever. And they get up there by the turkeys. And obviously they seen them because the toms are blocking the road. They're just strutting right there because that's just how they roll, I guess, in public land by us. And they slammed on the brakes, pulled into private land. One guy jumps out with a shotgun, was going to like technically poach it because none of them were used. I mean, they were, you know, well, everything was illegal. They were going to shoot from the road and just everything. There was nothing good about it.
Reminds me of this.
And, well, yeah. They never did. They never was able to locate them after they got out of the vehicle.
Okay.
And my kid's like, oh, great. You know, it's ruined. We're not going to get any. I'm like, bud, we got like 4,000 more acres we can look at. Like, we're okay. Sure as shit, we go to a different spot. Me and Jarrett couldn't get a turkey to gobble. And my son's like, can I try the box call? I was like, yeah, you know, go ahead, whatever. He literally uses the call with his special technique. I mean, that's the best way I could put it. And he got it to gobble. I mean, I give him credit. And we set up. We're watching these two toms gobbling with a hen. And they wouldn't come close enough. All of a sudden, you hear one to the left, further out. And he goes to Jared, because I was just filming. I obviously couldn't help with anything because of my shoulder surgery. And he goes to Jared, hey, do you hear that gobble over there? Jared goes, yeah, don't worry about that. We got the two in front of us. And no, not even 5 minutes after him saying that, that Tom came perfectly in, gobbling his head off, strutted at 15 yards, and he popped him in the face. I mean, he did. He made a perfect shot. I don't even think I could have made that good of a shot with that 410.
That's awesome.
That's what you want to see as a dad. When your teacher becomes a student, what's that saying? Like when you're basically, they get better than you. That's a good thing.
Yeah. No, they did way better than me half the time I missed. So, and you know, got home, his older brother's like, oh, you got a turkey before me. Cause he tried like last year during youth and missed. And he just wanted to deer hunt this year. But he goes, do you think Jared will take me out in the morning? I'm like, you got to ask him. I don't know if he's going home or not. He's like, okay. He asked him. We go in the morning. My son had two gobblers. And I mean, these toms had the longest beards I've ever seen. They came in to about 15 yards. Is this the video?
I think I just commented on that one today. Did you just post that?
I posted it yesterday. Yeah, but yeah.
Yesterday. Okay.
And yeah, he was going to he was trying to get a shot off, but they seen me because, I mean, I'm kind of, the best term I can use is decrepit, and I can't move very well, and I was caught off guard, and, well, the Tom seen me first, so I told Jared, I had it on film, and I was like, Jared, you gotta turn him or something if you want him to get this gobbler, and, well, he tried to turn him, of course, the Toms aren't stupid, and they left, and he was like, oh, see, I told you guys wouldn't let me get a turkey, one of you two is going to mess it up, like, talking smack, and we just moved down the road, because it's, you know, like how we normally do, just to see if we can't do something else and get one fired up. And we heard a bunch of gobblers going off to his call. He did an owl hoot. He said, an owl hoot's going to work. We're like, all right, do it. He does it. One gobbles. And then we call a little bit, bunch gobble. We're sitting there and I hear walking to the left and I'm like, and I can't move because I'm like in the worst position. Like I'm in the open. Like if a gobbler is coming down, like I'm going to be the reason that we're busted again. And I look to the left and here's four Jakes walking towards us. And I'm like, oh, we're good. Cause they're kind of dumb, obviously. So I didn't really have any concern of them seeing me. Cause we had a hen decoy out and the lead Jake starts, you know, posturing up a little bit. And I had Jared goes before we set up, Jared goes, make sure if you get something on film, try and get the kill shot. Don't be behind a tree again. Well, here's that time. Coming along. I'm like, oh, I'm on him. And I'm like a proud dad too. Like, you know, oh my God, my kid, my second kid's going to get his first turkey all jacked. And I hear Jared over there. Okay, Carter, shoot. And I'm thinking in my head, dude, don't shoot. I'm behind a tree. Like I can't see the turkey at all. And before I know it, he just, you hear the gun go off and feathers go everywhere. And I mean, he dropped it. And Jarrett goes, dude, we got it on film. I'm like, yeah, hey, about that, man. You could let him shoot behind the tree again. So, but no, yeah, it was a hell of a start to the season. I don't think we could have even wrote it up better than how it turned out.
Congratulations, man, to you and your boys. That's awesome.
Thanks. I mean, I was a little skeptical, especially after shoulder surgery, being able to get out much or, you know, be comfortable enough. And well,
they're feeding the family for you, man.
That the hospital gave me. So
you're eating good because you're boys. That's great, man.
Exactly. If it was up to me, we'd be starving because I can't hunt. So.
That's like those old movies, like the old westerns. Like, all right, boy, it's up to you now to take to, you know, like.
Go get us dinner.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've taught you well.
What seasons do you guys get?
I have F.
I have A and F.
I got A and F too.
Oh, okay.
Fucking Abercrombie and Fitch boys over here.
Oh, yeah.
A and F.
Yeah, the first year I draw an A season, I have shoulder surgery and can't hunt. So, like, I'm kind of irritated about that because normally all I can ever get is, like, second. Hmm. But my brother's going to be going, and I plan on sitting with him, hopefully. So, well, even though now it's going to be, like, 40 degrees instead of 70.
Yeah, go figure. Well, we got you here. There's a question that came through, and I think you might be poised to answer this better than I can. And we'll see what Derek and Matt have to say. We don't all have to weigh in. But someone Shane Bird commented, if I'm saying the name correctly here. Maybe I'm saying it wrong, but some people use turkey decoys to call them deer hunting. First of all, that's a fucking phenomenal idea. I've never thought of in my life. Thank you for that. But then they said, you know, what do you think about using deer decoys while turkey hunting? When we were turkey hunting, we had that doe in the field right there. I've seen deer and turkeys spook one another in the woods frequently, but because they didn't see or know the other one was coming. So I think if you're in a field, maybe that's a little bit different.
Sounds like a great idea, actually. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I see that like, half the time. It's like you have turkey decoys out. The turkeys don't like it, but the deers do. And when, you know, when you're turkey hunting, like the deer are out, the turkeys come right up to the deer. So it's like,
it's a lot
I don't
easier.
Know. I think that would be a great idea.
Let me just set a whole scene here. Let me get some goose decoys out there. Let me get a deer. I'm just going to make it. Like, let's just go. Let's just
couple people decoys, couple mannequins.
You know what? Maybe we'll give that a shot. Actually, I have nothing better.
That'll
to
keep
right
the other hunters know. Away. Like,
you
just
put the,
person
people, the hunter like decoys where you don't want them to go, and you go sit on the other side.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, that guy's been moving like 10 minutes, man. Is he waving at us? Go get him!
Dude, it sounds ridiculous, but I guarantee this is like probably like the best idea in a while. Honestly, like
that's a really interesting thought. Thanks for the question. It's Shane or Cheyenne. I'm not sure how to say your name. I'm really sorry. I'm really bad at this stuff. It's Shaine for those that are listening. So maybe someone else can tell me how you say that. But nonetheless, great comment. Great question. Good thought. Don't have an answer. We're all intrigued. If you try it, let us know. Drew, thanks for the call, buddy. You have fun out there. Take care.
Yeah,
of
no problem. You guys have good luck this year, and talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. See you too.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'd say that was a pretty fun episode.
Yeah, shit, we got to wrap it up. I got to go roost some birds quick.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's dark out, Derek. Don't do anything illegal.
Well, hey, that's the nice thing about early season. No leaves on the trees. You can see them silhouetted against the sky pretty easy.
Yep.
Yeah, the birds that roosted in my neighborhood, I could see. And that was a big Tom. I mean, big, big, big.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
gotta add some more spurs to the old spur necklace.
Although, if they're in my yard, I can kill them.
Can you discharge a weapon here?
I can shoot them with a bow.
You could.
If it's within, I forget, there's like a city ordinance or something. If as long as I'm within 30 yards of my own property or something like that, I could kill it.
Well, there you go.
I talked to one of the, someone that was on like the, it's not the Senate. Some government.
I talked to a congressman.
Some government official that was kind of writing these bills.
Was it the mailman?
Back when I was doing the. Yeah, yeah.
Sir, the mailman said I could kill it.
A government marked vehicle. Yeah. No, I had someone on the talked to someone a long time ago about when this bill was passed. I was like, wait a second. Are you saying I can kill a deer on my own property? And they're like, yeah, you could. Which, it's not my style of hunting, but I'm just saying if a giant Tom shows up my feeder,
kind of fun. They've been across the yard, and I've gobbled and done some stuff, and I got him all fanned up, and he's a little curious. But there's a hen right there that he was interested in. So it's just kind of neat to like putz around in my own neighborhood.
Yeah,
I'm sure my neighbors would hate me. Although apparently they wouldn't know what the hell's going on. Turkey? What? What happened? Yeah. Anywho, well, Matt, thanks for being here tonight, buddy.
No problem. Anytime.
Derek, nice necklace. You have a good evening, sir. And next week, we're talking to some wardens, so bring your questions for that one. And keep the gloves on. Uh-oh, my phone's ringing. How do I make that stop? Well, I guess that's a...
I thought that was a new
good
outro.
Cue to end it. Jeez. Because I got all the Bluetooth stuff hooked up. I don't know. Anyway, well, thanks for listening, everybody. Y'all have a good night.
Good luck tomorrow morning, Matt. Keep me posted, buddy. Yep.
You too.
All right. Adios, everybody. I'm just going to mute this.